want to say good morning to everyone. We're certainly grateful, as always, to be able to assemble ourselves together on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is a very special day for us as Christians. We realize all of the blessings that we have every day as we go through life. But on the Lord's Day, it's extremely precious for us because we have the opportunity to gather together around the table of blessing, to remember the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, remember what he did and why he did it, and to be able to reflect upon his sacrifice as we just live our lives every day. When we as Christians realize that everything that we have comes from God and all our blessings come from God, God is always present in our lives, even in the decisions that we make. When I was asked to speak this morning, for a brief moment, I had a message in mind, but I couldn't find my PowerPoint. But I want to talk for you just briefly this morning from a message that I titled, Turn the Page. And for our text, I want to read Philippians 3, verses 12 through verse 14, very familiar verses. Matter of fact, all of the verses that we referenced this morning are very familiar verses. They find their way in many lessons, and I believe that's for a reason. I believe because they're extremely beneficial for us as Christians. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, Paul writes this. He says, not that I have already obtained all this, or already have been made perfect, he says, but I press toward the mark to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold for me. In verse 13, he says, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, the Bible says, and I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which was written in the books according to their works. This judgment scene depicts to us standing before the righteous judge with our lives wide open to him. Each of us have our own book. Every one of us not only have our own book, but we make entries in that book every day. With every word we say, every thought, whether it's reckless, whether it's within the framework of the scriptures or not. And I think sometimes as Christians, we live our lives and we get so involved in the many blessings that God bless us with, till we don't just focus on the fact that I'm writing in this book. And this book is the book that I'm going to be judged out. It's been said that life is a book. And it says that some chapters are sad, some chapters are happy, some chapters are exciting. But if you take that book and you read it and you never turn the page, you'll never know what's in the other chapter. You'll never know what it holds. You'll never know if it's beneficial, if it's good, if it's sad, if it's interesting. And life is the same way. Sometimes our intentions and our desires are not on the same page as where we want them to be. And a lot of times they're not on the same page where they should be, especially for us as Christians. And so today I believe it's a great time to turn that page, to look at that page and to press toward those things that are ahead and those things that we want to accomplish, especially spiritual things in our lives. Here's why I said today is a good time. If you asked me what I was going to do tomorrow, I'd say I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to get me some coffee, I'm going to Lake of the Pines, I'm going crappie fishing. But in honesty, you know what I'm doing tomorrow? If you ask me that, you know what the truthful answer to that is? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised to me. And we need to face life at that. And we don't. I can tell you what everybody in here is doing tomorrow. You don't know. And so what we do as Christians is bring these things to our forefront and we remember. The passage that we're considering is, I believe, a perfect passage for looking at what we can accomplish if we'll only just move on, if we just turn that page, if we just don't get bogged down. Is it easy to get bogged down? Absolutely. Is it intention? Not in all cases. In most cases, that's not our desire. Our desire is to press forward. I believe that there's two very valuable lessons that we can learn from Paul here. And the first one is that we all have an imperfect past. All of us have something in our past that we just, if we look back at it, we're ashamed of it. We don't want it to be there. In other words, we all have blemishes and we all have stains. And as soon as we realize that, it makes us better people. And the blemishes and stains that I'm talking about are ones before we became children of God and after. Even today, we're not perfect. Today, we do things and say things that we really shouldn't say or shouldn't do. Well, Paul was no different. Paul had a pretty ugly past when you think about it because he persecuted the church. My guess is that Paul had a lot of time when he was in prison to reflect upon that. But when I read this passage, I don't believe Paul dwelled on it. I don't believe he just put it or forgot it totally. I don't think it ever left him. But he says, I forget those things that behind. He said, I put them behind me. And he said he did that in order for him to be able to accomplish the things that he was trying to do. We also remember that Paul was a religious guy. Paul was very religious. He was a Pharisee. He was an up-and-coming religious leader. He had a lot of influence and he had a lot of trust of the religious establishment at that time. He could quote scripture. He attended the synagogues probably every week, just like we do. But all of his religion didn't keep him from having a past that he didn't treasure, for having a past that he didn't want to hold on to. Notice what he says in this passage. He says, I press on. He says, I press on. Not lackadaisical or half-heartedly, but he says straining. In other words, making a strenuous effort, a continuous effort toward what's ahead. He says, I press on, not dwelling on the things behind or on the present woes. We talk about Paul's circumstances. Let me notice something that we all notice. We said all the passages are familiar. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29, in that passage, we get an idea of what Paul was talking about or some of the things when he said he pressed on. The Bible says, Paul says, are they Hebrew? He says, so am I. Are they Israelite? Paul says, so am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? He says, I speak foolishly. He says, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths often. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times shipwrecked, a night and a day in the deep. He says, I have been in the perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, and among false brethren. He says in verse 27, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily with the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? You see, Paul did what it took within his current circumstances without making excuses. Christ was worth the effort for Paul. Paul had a full understanding, and he knew that it was worth all of those things that he went through. It was worth his imprisonment. Every challenge that Paul had in his life didn't beset him because the effort for Christ was worth it. When we make our effort for Christ and we realize what he's worth to us, then we can move on ourselves, like Paul, from those things that hinder us, from our past. And we can also better deal with our present circumstances in order to gain or be more like Christ. This is what we have to do today, especially in the social environment that we live in, is we have to determine to do the same thing that Paul did. Paul clearly indicates that the goal was worth the effort. Paul called it a prize. He called it not just a wage or a paycheck, but he called it a prize. When today you and I focus on Christ and focus on living for him, you earn that heavenly prize, the one that the Bible tells us is beyond our own ability to comprehend. So many people have a lukewarm relationship with Christ, and they have no real desire to live for him, not totally, because what they see is just a work. They don't focus on the prize. Yes, it takes an effort. Yes, it takes a sacrifice. But if we remember why we make the effort and remember why we make the sacrifice, then we can move on. People will put a picture of a boat or a house or a car on their refrigerator that they want, and they'll work all the overtime they can get their hands on just to get that. But when it comes to Christ, we won't work that way. We'll work for what we can see. But sometimes we don't put that effort into things that will help our souls. But Paul here says that everything that he has done or everything that he's worth, what he can gain through the knowledge of Christ and serving him, the same is true for you and I. I wish more Christians could see the value of Christ like Paul. We see him, we know him, we understand he's our Savior. But there's so much value in our Lord and Savior. The bottom line of what I'm trying to communicate today is that through Paul's word, is that he decided to turn the page on his past. He put all that baggage away. He had a lot. I mean, when you think about Saul, that transition from Saul to Paul, it amazes me. Because I meet people today, I don't think I knew anybody could make that kind of transition from what he was to what he become. But he put it behind him. He didn't really get caught up in his present circumstances because he was still getting persecuted for the cross of Christ. Today, as a nation, as a country, as a state, as a community, even as a church, even in our own personal lives, especially as of late, we have many challenges, but we can't dwell on those challenges. We can't let those negatives become distractions to us. We talk a lot about distractions. I'm distracted. Sometimes I'm easily distracted. The older I get, look like the more I'm distracted. But I'm not so much distracted by outside things. I'm distracted by internal things. You know, I'll get up and I'll go to the kitchen to make a cup of coffee, and I'll see something needs to be done, and I'll go do that. And 15 minutes later, I realize you didn't make your coffee. You know, it's just you're distracted. You're doing things. But when we think about life in the society that we live in, there are a lot of distractions. There are a lot of things that will keep us from focusing on that prize. There are a lot of things that will keep us from turning the page, from moving on. In reality, we're not comfortable. And what we are confident in is our circumstances. We get comfortable with them. And therefore, uncertainty begins to hinder us. Change begins to hinder us. And so we're not strenuous like Paul was. We're not eager, and we're not forthwith in pressing forward. Paul wanted to move on, and today we have a great opportunity to do just that. Let me suggest just four things before we close that we can do to turn that page and to move on spiritually. The first one is to turn the page on a lukewarm relationship with Christ. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 and 16, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were either cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." That's not what Jesus wants for us. I can imagine anyone wanting to be like that. I can't imagine anyone here today wanting Jesus to look at them and say, "You're lukewarm. You're not cold, or you're not hot." Jesus wants us to be on fire for him. How do we do that? We do that by loving him and living for him in every area of our lives, not just worship on the Lord's Day. To be on fire, we need to spend time in the Word. We need to spend time in prayer. If you never developed a habit of praying, then you can start just praying every day, reading the Bible every day. Then you'll learn to give up half-hearted obedience to Jesus. The church at the Laodiceans wasn't accepted with their obedience because it was half-hearted. It just wasn't what he wanted. We need to get past lip service and start serving him with our lives. Jesus says that if we love him, we'll obey him. If we don't obey him, then obviously we don't really love him. We need to strengthen our relationships with the church. Whatever it takes, you need to turn that page on that lukewarm, mediocre relationship that we have with Christ. The next thing we need to do is turn the page on unforgiveness. And I know that's not a term, but I use it. Unforgiveness. Some of us have been hurt in our lives. Some of us have been hurt badly. Others just gotten their feelings just destroyed. Some of them got them hurt just a little bit. But in a lot of cases, we're holding on to that. We refuse to forgive that person from the heart. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But," he says, "if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Notice how our heavenly Father forgives. We need to turn the page on unforgiveness and forgive as God forgave. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you think it's minor. I don't care if you think it's deserved. I don't care what you think about it. It hinders you and it hinders God from forgiving you. If you're here today and you think you don't need the forgiveness of God, then we need to have a special prayer for you. Every one of us need God's forgiveness. And God says, "I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you freely on one condition, that you forgive others." Scripture says not to let the sun go down on your anger. Some have let hundreds and thousands of suns go down on their anger. There are some people that haven't talked to each other and haven't had relationship with other for years, parents and children, siblings, neighbors, for years. There's things that happened so long ago that imagine if you had to give an account for it, you couldn't really remember it. And if you did remember it, you couldn't remember enough particulars to determine who was at fault. Let me ask you a question. Does anybody here honestly believe that they have the right to demand forgiveness from God? I hope not. We don't have that right. Conversely, we don't have the right to withhold forgiveness from anyone else either, any more than we have the right to demand forgiveness for ourselves. The Bible says, for if you forgive men trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And that's the only way to do it. If there's unforgiveness in your life, I would strongly encourage you to just turn that page. Do like Paul. Put that behind you, because in order to press on, you have to. Paul, I don't believe, was sitting in that prison house thinking about the mean old Romans and thinking about the Sanhedrin, thinking about all the people that caused him to be there. I don't think he let bitterness keep him from doing what he needed to do. Scripture says we're supposed to forgive. When you choose to forgive, and when you choose to drop those grudges and those ill feelings, what you do is you set yourself free. You set yourself free to be able to move forward, to go to the very next page, to talk to the next chapter. You may think you can do it, or you can't do it. Some people just say, it's just impossible. I was hurt so bad. It's just, you don't understand the circumstances. Well, brothers and sisters and friends, I'm telling you, no matter what the circumstances is, God's commandments are very clear and very plain on forgiveness. He simply says, you have to forgive, and I'll forgive. We need to ask God to help us in that area. Another thing we can do is turn the page on that sin. And I didn't say sin. I said that sin, a particular sin. What do I mean by that? I think that in many, if not most people, there's something that they struggle with. And maybe even give up on conquering it sometime. I don't know what it is. I know what it is in my life. So I know you know what it is. And so you have to just kind of move on about it. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's gossiping. Maybe it's breaking a confidence. Maybe it's looking at inappropriate material. Maybe it's doing things on the internet that you shouldn't be doing. Maybe it's letting your eyes linger. Whatever it is. Maybe it's just plain laziness and not taking responsibility for what's under your care. In other words, not using what God has put in our hands. Ask God to help you to get a handle on whatever that is, and to get a handle on the resources that might help you to move on and turn the page from that sin. You don't have to be a captive to that sin. You don't have to. It's not insurmountable. It's easy to do. It's far easier than you think because of the resources that we have, because we have Christ. So we need to just resolve to move on from that. And the last one is we need to turn the page on mediocrity. Mediocrity is the default position of life. Believe it or not, that's what we all default to. Anybody can be mediocre. Most people are, especially when it comes to living for Christ and when it comes to serving for Christ. Excellence is rarely achieved without an intentional effort. It's not automatic. You don't just say, well, tomorrow I'm going to achieve excellence, and you wake up and bingo. No. It's achieved through a very intentional effort. I'm not saying perfection. I'm saying excellence. I'm saying just one step up, a whole level from mediocre. Let me suggest that you step it up in your life with relationship with others, especially your family, work. Jesus Christ is our model for this. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 37, people were amazed, and they were overwhelmed with their amazement. You know what they said? They said, he has done everything well. He didn't do it just right. He'd done everything well. When we look toward excellence and reflect on the work of Christ, that should be our goal. So many people today live in a rut, just getting along like they always do, not really making an effort to get it. They're stuck in that same old chapter of their life. You know what Zig Ziglar said about a rut? He says a rut is just a grave with the ends kicked out. And so we need to move on from that. You need to turn the page. You need to get out of that chapter if that's where you are in your life. You need to get out of that chapter. And I want to encourage you to get out of that rut that you might be in, whatever it is. And I want to encourage the church as a whole to show people around us that we always want to turn that page on the past, that we always want to strain toward what's ahead in our service for Christ, regardless of the social and economic and civil woes that we deal with. Don't let this day be the same old day that you've done every day, all the days in your life. In closing, remember to turn the page on the things that you like and need to get going and accomplish. Sometimes you just can't get them done. And I'm speaking primarily of spiritual things. We need to turn the page on some things that should be behind us, because what they are hindering us. They're hindering us spiritually. May this be the best day in your walk for Christ and in your service of him. Remember what Paul says. Paul says, I have not already obtained all of this. Neither have we. Or have already been made perfect. Neither have we. But he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold for me, so should we. He says in verse 13, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So should we. The lesson is yours this morning. I hope I've said something to cause us to reflect on our life, on the one day that we have, and that's today. When the opportunity, every opportunity we have, we always grant an extension to the church. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, and you've heard the gospel, and you have questions about it, or you've heard it and just kind of stuck in that rut, won't obey it, then I would encourage you this morning to really consider obeying the gospel, to really consider becoming a member of the body of Christ. If you're here this morning and you just consider or need the prayers of the church, then make all of those requests known while we stand and sing the selected song.